Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As I welcome you back, I'd like to remind you that we're dealing with the question of divorce and remarriage by listening closely to how Jesus will answer a question put to him by some Pharisees. The question coalesces with ours. I pick up the reading now at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1. If you have your Bible with you, and you can follow along as I read in Matthew 19, please do so. When Jesus had finished these words, he left Galilee and came into the region of Judea, beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and Jesus healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" Yesterday, I gave you some background to the setting and to this question that will be very helpful to us in understanding this passage. We learned that, in the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, there were two schools of teaching regarding divorce and remarriage. One teaching of some rabbis was the divorce for no reason view, and the other teaching of some rabbis was the divorce for any reason view. Divorce for no reason, one can never ever divorce, and divorce for any reason, easy divorce. The Pharisees belonged to the divorce for any reason teaching. The Pharisees were famous for divorce and remarriage. They practiced this with vigor. In this context, let's see now how Jesus answers their question. Let me read verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. And Jesus answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate." These are the words of our Lord, and for those of you wondering why I would be reading and teaching these verses in Matthew in a series on Genesis chapter 2, well, now you know why. Jesus answers the Pharisees' test question by immediately quoting from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Christ takes these Pharisees all the way back to the beginning. And I'll say more about this in a moment, but first I want you to notice the way the Lord begins. He says, "Have you not read?" Whoa, Jesus pokes the Pharisees right in the eye with this opening statement. These are the Pharisees who marched around Israel proclaiming themselves masters of the text of Scripture. They considered themselves to be, and many Jews considered the Pharisees to be, the experts on what is our Old Testament, the Hebrew law. The Lord turns their test question right back against them. "Have you not read?" Meaning, have you not read Genesis? Zing! In effect, Jesus is saying, you're supposed to be the experts on the Scriptures, and you do not even know what God has said about marriage. In verse 4, Jesus quotes Genesis 1, verse 27. "He who created them from the beginning made them male and female." And in verse 5, Jesus quotes our verse, Genesis 2:24. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And what is the answer Jesus is giving the Pharisees? It's this: divorce and remarriage has never been the will of God. From the very beginning, divorce has never been the will of God. Therefore, marriage after divorce has never been the will of God. What Jesus is emphasizing by quoting Genesis is what we have been saying on this broadcast and podcast for weeks. Marriage is one man, as one flesh, with one woman, for one lifetime. And as we emphasized last week, divorce and remarriage is sinful and prohibited by God. And we learned this from where? Yes, the book of Genesis. Jesus is saying that the answer to the question comes from God. As he does, Jesus points the Pharisees and us to God the Father. And God's will is that all marriages are permanent, lifelong. Only at the death of a spouse does a marriage end. In Matthew 19, verse 6, Jesus reiterates this strongly by saying, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh." That is, all marriages are to be one flesh marriages. The one flesh marriage is the first marriage. And, therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. Meaning, neither spouse is to file for divorce. Divorce is not an option in the will of God. This is how Jesus starts. By the way, the word there in verse 6 translated separate is the word that means divorce, not just a temporary separation as some marriages experience. As we saw last week in our text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul uses this same Greek word to mean divorce. We can restate this way: God has joined together in marriage, no spouse is to divorce. God has joined together in marriage, no spouse is to divorce. Friends, according to Jesus Christ, God takes marriage very seriously. Marriage is the will of God. Divorce is not the will of God. And right about now, many will want to ask an "what about" type question. I can see you raising your hand and flagging me down, eager to interrupt. "But Mark, what about when?" Perhaps you are looking for the exceptions. The marriage is the will of God. Divorce is not the will of God. But what about when? And you remember that we have already had the two exceptions of death and abandonment. Well, like anyone wanting to ask about exceptions to what Jesus has reiterated from Genesis, now the Pharisees seek an exception. Let's return to Matthew 19 at verse 7. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" That's Matthew 19, verse 7. These Pharisees, persistent in trapping Jesus, raise an apparent exception to the rule. God's will is for marriage and not for divorce. What about when? How come then? You can hear it in their tone. They bring Moses in. Why did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? You want to play this game of quoting scripture, do you, Jesus? Well, two can play at that game. We're ready for you. How can you disagree with Moses? Let's explore verse 7, which will take us back to the Old Testament and the words of Moses. But first, let me insert here a reflection on the attitude of the Pharisees, because theirs is an attitude that can easily creep into and dominate our hearts as well. How do we respond to Jesus? How do we respond to God, to the Word of God, when we do not like what it says? When the Bible clearly teaches that which contrasts with our choices, what do we do? Pastors, Christian counselors who uphold the Bible, church leaders, Bible-believing and Bible-obeying friends even, when approached by someone who is contemplating divorce and/or remarriage after divorce, will be asked what they should do. And when the scripture is cracked open and it becomes evident that God's will is for this person to remain married, and/or for this person to remain single, unmarried, following divorce on unbiblical grounds, what is the response? I can tell you from personal experience in counseling with others, the reaction is definitely not always one of willful obedience to what God says. People, and yes, I include in this many people who confess to be Christians, begin to look for loopholes to the commands of God. They search for exceptions, and their situation always seems to be that exception. The standard becomes not what Jesus says, but what they want. We hear things like, "Who are you to say I should remain married to him?" Or, "Who are you to say I should remain married to her? You don't know what it is like. Would you want to be stuck with him, stuck with her?" Or, "We are not in love anymore. Even," and I quote, "God is calling me to leave my marriage." Not long ago, I was approached by a friend on WhatsApp, a free texting app on the phone, and asked what my opinion was of the potential for her to remarry after her divorce. She's a Christian. And when I responded with the words of Jesus here at Matthew 19, Mark 10, Matthew 5, and elsewhere, wow, that brought us to a quick conclusion in that series of texts. Conversation over. You see, she wanted to do what she wanted to do and was looking for some way to justify it in the eyes of God. Later, I learned about some books she had ordered from Amazon with titles like Five Views of Divorce and Remarriage. She opted for that over the Bible. If we just take Jesus at his word thus far in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, what should we conclude? I know we have to press further, and we'll do that tomorrow beginning in verse 7, because yes, Jesus is coming to an exception. But that exception will have application in a very narrow and specific way. If your situation truly does not fit the two exceptions we've already learned about, and this third one coming, then how do you respond to Jesus' conviction that your marriage is permanent and is to last until death? This is worth thinking about. Be sure and join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.